welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries Radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and he is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord has so much to say to his people. He loves us and he's coming back for us. His return is very soon. Imminently will he return. Even the theme of these broadcasts is ready or not. Ready or not, Jesus will come. Now, I don't know. I'm not a date setter. I don't know when he'll come, whether it be this year or next year, but he continually tells me his return is soon, so I know it's near. It's imminent. In 2017, he said, tell my people my return is imminent. Be ready that they be not left. And instead of focusing on when he'll return, focus on him. Now, he's got to return. He's going to keep his word. He's going to do what he said, but focus on him, getting to know him. And I love the Lord our God. He loves us. It's all about love. The Lord, he deals with us according to his wonderful love. And people respond to the love the way that they see fit. Some people will receive it. Some people will reject it. And the Lord has to deal with our decision. You get to make what decision you want to make. But I want to tell you a few things. And if you give me a chance and hear me out, it may be a blessing to you. The Lord loves you personally. Many times when people mention the word God, the definition of God is varied depending on who you talk to him about. Now this is why I'm saying that. A few years ago, the Lord made me aware of something that's true. He said the first authority figure shaped the way that people see God. What kind of people were you around when you were a child? Who represented God to you? Even people who are atheists, their parents was the first, or whoever raised them was the first representation of who God is. And many times people come from a good home, which is wonderful. And they were around people that loved them. And it's easier for them to believe that God loves them. But every now and then, sometimes people were born in situations where they were not in a loving environment. And when you say God, then their first perception is God is an authority. And it's easy for them to believe that God is like whoever raised them. Now, the people that raise you are not like God. Whether you had good parents, bad parents, a good grandmother, an evil grandmother, step-parents, whoever was the first authority figures. You know, some people lived in an orphanage, and the people who ran the orphanage may have been mean. Or they may have been kind, they may have been godly, they may have been ungodly, they may have been immoral. But God is still good, and he loves us. He loves us so much that he worked to get us out of the trouble that we got ourselves into. Now, when you read the Genesis account, God made Adam, there was nothing wrong, there was no sin. Everything that God did towards Adam was good. But he said, if you eat off this tree, tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. And Adam ate off that tree on purpose. Eve was deceived and ate off the tree. This is why, if you study the word, you'll learn that Eve was deceived, he rebelled. That's why sin is transferred through the male. When Adam ate off the tree, the fruit of the tree, their eyes were both open. Nothing happened till he ate off of it. Now, keep that in mind. Sin is transferred through the male. This is why Jesus came through a virgin. And if you study the Word of God, you'll learn things that you've only heard about. The Word of God will teach you the truth. And you'll have a visual, my friend, of who God really is. Now, I got saved. I was the son of a pastor. But every person has to get to know God for themselves. I was raised in a godly home. And some people would say, well, it's easy for you to believe God. Not really. Because I had to come to a point that I had to believe on Jesus for my sins and make him my Lord. It's personal. Somebody said God don't have any grandchildren. Just because you were raised in a good home don't mean you're automatically in the kingdom of God. And my conduct was decent in the eyes of man. And if I died, somebody would have said that I came to the Lord at an early age, and I didn't. My dad baptized me, but my heart was not in it. I didn't ask the Lord to save me till I was almost 20 years old. I was 19. I was about 3 or 4 weeks away from being 20. Now, and that's just the truth. When I was somewhere around the 8th or 9th grade, I was standing in the front yard, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "You're on your own now." I'll never forget that. I'll never forget it. I knew I had to get saved. And my cousin broke it down to me. He explained salvation. Sometimes even preachers don't explain what the Lord had to do. They do it in preaching, but see, preaching is not always personal. When you sit somebody down and show them the scriptures of what Jesus was doing and why, it makes a world of difference. It makes a big difference. But my parents lived the life before me. My daddy loved me. He loved the church. He loved people. And my parents loved everybody. They were not racist. They taught me to love everybody. And when you do that, you make somebody mad at you. People like for you to love who they love and hate who they hate. And be mad at their enemies just like they are. That's what people expect. That's what friends expect. Even when people treat you wrong. But remember, God loves everybody. My mother taught me that, and it really helped. Children need to hear the truth from their parents because they have the most responsibility to teach children in the way that they should go. Now, my mother taught me things, and sometimes she'd show me the scriptures and teach me things, and it helped. We need representatives of every age. Sometimes your friends, some people will listen to their friends when they won't listen to their parents. It's very encouraging for young people to have godly young people as friends. They're more apt to stick with it. As a child, you want to know what this is about and what that's about. You're curious. And so much on TV to sway you away from the things of God. Now, ministry is personal. And when people love the darkness of this world, they try to hide it because it's wrong. But see, God is clean. He's perfect. He's love. And as you get to know him, you're going to find out that he really loves you. And your faith works by love. And you're going to be able to detect the truth. And then you'll see what the lie has been doing to you all along. See, sometimes people don't know they've been lied to. And they don't know that people have not told them all there is to know. Proud people, they push their opinions. They're convinced pride looks within. And they push their opinions off on others. But the goodness of God is more than an opinion. It's life. It's life. It's detectable. It's enjoyable. When we receive the word of the Lord and receive his word, things happen within. You have a reference of peace. You have the peace of God in you. You have the life of God in you. If you wonder why some Christians are so dedicated and some are not, it's because those who are dedicated have oil in their lamps. They're like the 5 wise virgins. The 5 foolish virgins let the oil get away. The life of God got away from them. We receive the life of God by faith. We read his word, receive it as truth with the intent to do it. And when that's the case, the word of God will minister to you. And you have a greater visual of who God really is. And the Holy Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. In Romans it said, they who are led of God, they are the sons of God. They are the sons of God. Some people are not led by him. Every Christian can be led by the Holy Spirit. But first you have to be, you have to be able to say yes, Lord, and mean it. And that only happens when you take time and study the word for yourself and learn what the Lord is saying. When you draw near to the Lord, he'll draw near to you. And it makes a big difference. See, don't stay in the same condition because of what somebody put in motion years ago. People that have hurt you, people that have wounded your life, people that were mean in the past, they can't represent God to you. They represent him falsely. But those that really love him, they represent him correctly. Not necessarily perfectly, but that testimony and what they've learned about him is true. And you can learn from him yourself. You can study the word yourself. It's good to pray and ask the Lord to lead you to the church you need to go to. And if he warns you about people, receive the warning. You have to have faith in whatever he says, whether it's good or bad. If you're about to get married, did you consult the Lord? Has he been giving you dreams? Has he been trying to tell you something? A healthy study of the Word of God will help you judge what the Lord is saying. If you're a Christian, he'll try to work with you. If you're not a Christian, if you never believed on Jesus Christ, and if you're not walking according to his word, and the first thing is, if you never believed on him as your Savior, you need to get saved so you can have your own relationship with him. The world can't represent God. There's no peace to the wicked. Peace comes from the Lord. Peace comes from being right with him. If you got saved years ago and strayed away, go back and repent and start all over again and start getting to know the Lord. Sometimes people walk away because people were rude at church, or they did things and they acted immoral. Don't let an immoral person suggest to you how God really is. Go back to the word. What does the word say? The enemy is trying to turn you from him. And God is too good to let worldly conduct drive you from him. You got to get to know him for yourself. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. That's newlivingletters.com. And he has so much to say to you. I'm just scratching the surface. See, his return is soon. There's so many things I want to deal with, but this is what he put on my heart for today. You have to learn to see him for yourself. Sometimes people become opinionated because somebody impressed them and they didn't, or they ran with something, they echoed something that they heard without searching the scriptures. What if you search the scriptures about everything and ask the Lord to give you his knowledge and his wisdom, his insight, the perfect interpretation of his word? Some people misinterpret his words. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if you misinterpret the word, if you believe it's saying something it didn't say, it's not going to fit the plan of God and it's not going to work in your life. People believe things that's not working for them, and it's not God's fault. Then they come up and bring up they come up with a doctrine to excuse the problems, as if God is behind it. God has nothing to do with your problems. And they'll say, well, God sent the problems to help you grow up, because, you know, people get in pride and they won't grow up. God don't do that. That's actually mean. He don't do mean things. He gave you his word to help you grow. He gave you the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth. First of all, he gave you Jesus so that you can be saved in the first place. And then he gave you the fivefold ministry to help coach you in the things of God. They're not just, a preacher's not supposed to do all of your studying. And people try to, that's tradition. People want the preacher to do all the studying. That came out of the Catholic Church. A lot of people couldn't read, and they had the Bible interpreted in Latin, and then the priest could tell you what he wanted you to know. And he was in league with the king sometimes. Some of them were good and honest, and some of them were corrupt. And they were bilking the people out of their money. And some of them were good and not corrupt. And they were telling people the truth. But the word has been put in print so you can read it for yourself. God made sure you were able to read it for yourself. And you're gonna have to do your homework. Now, studying the word is not labor. It's not like going out stacking bricks and cutting wood. It's not like going out to cut firewood. It's not like going out to do manual labor. If you take time to study the word, you're receiving the life of God so that you can make good quality judgments. If that's not happening, the world is going to push you around. If you're not continually studying the word to live by with intent to do it, hear me good. The word of God is the knowledge of love. If you're not receiving it, the world's going to try to blindside you. And while you're blindsided, the enemy's going to, he's going to try to drive you away from God, give you problems that will, and accuse God for the problem that he gave you. And if you've been influenced wrongly, God will help you heal. And you're going to have to trust him on some things. When I started studying the word, Jesus Christ was before he became a man, he was the spoken word of God. Because 1 John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when I started studying, I said, what did the Word teach when he came? And I started reading about the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Plain, the Beatitudes, the parables that Jesus taught. I started there. After redemption, see, Jesus taught these things before redemption. That got me started. But after redemption, the Holy Spirit caused Peter and John and James and Paul to write things pertaining to people who believed on him. Their works are even greater than what Jesus said in the first place. Because now, Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, was teaching his disciples what to do after redemption. See, he said before he left, he that believed will do greater works than me. And you have to read all of it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It starts with the written word and also the spoken word of the Holy Spirit. I asked Elder Lewis, a pastor I had years ago in the 80s, how does God speak to you, Pastor? How does he speak? He said, primarily through the written word. That's God speaking to you right now. That's his word. That's what he said. That's what he means. It represents him. And then he'll speak to you in your spirit if you're born again. If you're not born again, I'm not saying God can't speak to you, but you probably won't follow through with it. Because God have spoken to people that were not redeemed. But most of the time, it don't happen. Now, he spoke to me before I got saved. He warned me, saying, you're on your own now, and I never forgot it. I should have forgot that, but it was not of me. That was of God. So God can talk to you. Whatever he say, you need to hear him out. Now, check this out. In Iran, in Iraq, and there are many Christians now that were Muslims, and Jesus appeared to people while they were Muslims and told them the truth, because it's against the law for ministers to preach the word over there. And the country won't let people in, and when there's nobody to preach the word, Jesus will appear to people just like he appeared to Paul in chapter 9 of Acts. If you read Acts chapter 9, Paul was on his way to put Christian people in jail and have them killed sometimes. And Jesus knocked him down on the road to Damascus. So the Lord can appear to people. It's biblical. And it was on CNN News, of all things, that a man from Nazarene was appearing to people, and they were getting saved. And that was Jesus. They didn't say Jesus. They said a carpenter from Nazarene. Because they tried to scale it down, but it was actually, but if you go on YouTube, some of the, a lot of Muslim people are talking about how they give their account of what happened. Because the Lord is about to return, and you don't need to miss out. You, if you grew up going to church and now you're not going because somebody hurt your feelings, go back. God didn't went behind that mess. You're going to have to trust the Lord. It's for your safety. It's because when he come, think about it. When he come and leave, with the, when he take his people off the earth so he can start judging the earth, he's, you know, the rapture has a purpose. People have many opinions, again, about the rapture and whether it's real or not. It's real because it's biblical. The angels are going to take his people off the earth at some point. It's biblical. Paul said we're going to meet him in the air. The Lord told me, personally, see, I have to, I don't, I'm not in a hurry to leave. I like my life just like it is because I'm spending time with the Lord. I'm learning. I'm having a good time. Some people are miserable because they won't receive the word of God, but I'm not miserable because I obey God's word, and as I do, my life gets even better. And now I have a chance to win souls, and I want to make sure I do that. But I have the responsibility to give people the word of God. And he said, tell my people my return is imminent, and to be ready that they be not left. Now, so people are going to be left because they're hard-headed. They won't listen. They won't do the things of God. They keep doing the things of the world. They keep breaking God's word. They break his laws. They don't do what he say. And he can't. You can't go to heaven any kind of way, like the lukewarm preachers preach. Some preachers are rogue. They're not hearing from the Lord. This is not new. Isaiah talked about it. Jeremiah talked about it. And Ezekiel talked about it. The Lord took Ezekiel in a vision, picked him up by the nape of his neck, by the hair of his head, picked him up by his hair, and took him to the temple and showed him in the spirit what they were doing behind closed doors, how they were worshiping the sun. And they were doing mischief, and he showed them all the stuff they were doing in secret. These were the priests. So don't be so surprised when preachers are not right with God. And then they teach. And then they teach wrong. Because a man that loves the world can't teach the truth. A half-hearted person, hear me good, a half-hearted person can't teach a whole-hearted truth. And a whole-hearted person, they can't betray God. They won't. They're going to do all that they can and know to minister life to God's people. Even if a whole-hearted person is deceived somewhere, the Holy Spirit can cause them to say what's necessary. Sometimes wholehearted people may not believe perfectly, but they'll get you saved and healed and set free. Wholehearted people stick with the things of God, and as they learn it, they do it. Now, we all are growing. We're in a state of growing. You know, your child that loves you as a child, their knowledge is limited. When they become a teenager, they have more. They can help you in a greater way. When they become adults, they can help you in an even greater way. When they finish college, they can help you in an even greater way. But as long as their heart is right, you can tell and judge that they're trying to do what's right. When I had my business, people knew I cared about them because I put forth effort to keep my word. So what people would do, they try to make me promise that I'd be there at a certain day because they saw in me that I was trying to keep my word. And they trusted my work because the way I got business, I had a mobile auto service they see their neighbor's car down for so many weeks or months, and then I come over in one day or 2 days, and the next thing you know, the car is reliable again. And so they'll call me to fix their car or their child's car or their cousin's car. They'll give my number to their people and they call me and I come get their car running. See, shops don't always be able to get to a car, but somebody that can come out to your house and fix it, and it's much cheaper. I got a lot of calls. So I had a lot of business. I didn't always have a lot of money, but I had a lot of business, and I couldn't get to everybody. So they tried to, when people see you trying to do what's right, they trust your character. And people are smart that way. They got good sense. People, we are made in God's image. And people, when you're trying to serve the Lord, people, it's distinguishable. You're set apart. Now, if God is working on somebody, the only difference is who's willing and who's not. And then the challenges. Some people are born into a good home like I was, and some people were born into an evil home. But God can reach down to you. And if you want the truth, he can give it to you. The Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Truth. Jesus said, my favorite scripture, he said, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. You don't have to be in the dark, and you don't have to be left here when Jesus comes. It's too important. Your life is worth saving because Jesus paid the best and highest price to save you and heal you. He paid the price of what it cost to save you. His blood washed your sins away. He was born of a virgin. That's what qualified him. See, God, he could have sent an angel, but he came himself. He came himself to redeem us. He became a man. One of Jesus' names is Emmanuel. You have to believe. If you don't believe, you won't be established. If you won't believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will remain in your sins and the world will destroy you. Not to mention what the Antichrist will do. They're trying to form a one world government now. They're trying to merge all the religions and make a one world religion.